is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. We've had their partnership manager and training specialist, Jefferson Mason, and marketing manager, Nick Bartlett, on the show in the past, and we couldn't be more excited about what they're doing for the game of basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Beyond efficient reps, Dr. Dish provides training expertise and versatility designed to develop complete players. The new Dr. Dish CT machine has further revolutionized basketball training with over 150 plus on-demand individual and team workouts from some of the best coaches and trainers in the game. These workouts include video instruction and combine game-like shooting drills with ball handling, conditioning, and agility drills. Along with workouts, the Dr. Dish training management system also provides stat tracking and analytics to track progress and ensure accountability. These are just a few reasons why top programs like Duke, North Carolina, Louisville, Florida, Baylor, and countless others are upgrading to Dr. Dish. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com. Follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And make sure you mention the Hoopheads podcast to get $300 off your next Dr. Dish purchase. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get out and get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
The message we give our kids before every practice is be tough, listen, and try. I think if you can do that in life, you're going to be successful.
Vance Downs is the boys' head varsity basketball coach at Ames High School in Iowa. Vance has been the coach at Ames since 2004 and has compiled a career record of 233-116. He is the all-time leader in wins at Ames High and won back-to-back state championships in 2009 and 2010. Those two teams went undefeated and featured current NBA players Harrison Barnes and Doug McDermott. Ames finished the 2010 season as the third-ranked team in the country, according to USA Today. Vance Downs is a four-time Conference Coach of the Year, two-time State Coach of the Year, and the USA Today National Coach of the Year in 2010. After you listen to our conversation with Vance Downs, jump over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a five-star rating and review. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe right now and visit our website at hoopheadspod.com to find every episode we've ever recorded. Let your friends and colleagues in the game know about the show so they can gain insights from some of the best minds in the game, from the grassroots to the NBA. You'll definitely want to have pen and paper handy as you listen to this episode with Coach Vance Downs from Ames High School in the state of Iowa. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Linsing here without my co-host Jason Sunkel this morning. But we are here with Vance Downs from Ames High School in Ames, Iowa. Vance, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Mike. Appreciate it.
Excited to have you on, get a chance to talk about all the great things that you've been able to do in your coaching career. I want to start out with a question about how you got into coaching in the first place. At what point in your life did you realize that coaching was something that you wanted to do as your life's profession?
Well, I mean, to be completely honest, Mike, I think I got into coaching by accident. I played in junior college, obviously played in high school, played at the NAIA level, and really wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. Pursued my education in the area of teaching. And with that came an opportunity to make some part-time money as a ninth grade basketball coach at a local high school. And I did it with no intention of doing it for a living. And 30 years later, I guess here I am.
So you were not one of those guys that was in fourth grade diagramming plays in your bedroom at night?
No, I love the game and I owe the game a lot. But I wouldn't say I was a junkie. I really enjoyed playing, but I certainly didn't think I was going to be in this profession.
So when you were first getting into coaching, you think back to that first season coaching ninth grade basketball. What do you remember about that first season when you walked in to your very first practice and tried to figure out, okay, how am I going to put this together so that it's coherent and I make sense? What do you remember about that first season?
I just remember being anxious And, you know, you think if you're organized enough, you'll be okay. And I just remember always being anxious about, you know, dotting all the I's, crossing all the T's, being organized. And then lo and behold, you find that human nature comes into play, and you never know where teenagers are going to take you. And having come out of that season, I'd say the thing that sticks with me the most is just all of a sudden you realize how important the relationships are with kids, and how much you can help kids and really how much they can help you.
Well, is there something – I want to jump back to that relationship question in just a second. But before we get to that, I wanted to ask you, just when you think about that very first season, what was something that you learned about coaching or that maybe you didn't understand about coaching coming at it from the player perspective, and now all of a sudden you're thrust into the coaching side of it? What was something that you didn't realize maybe that coaches did or had to deal with or spent so much time on when you were thinking about it previously as a player?
I think the biggest thing that hit me the earliest was when I went into it, you're kind of thinking, well, I'm the coach. You know, I've been coached hard. It's going to be my way or the highway, that type of attitude. And then you get into it, and it's like, well, every kid doesn't function the same way. You've got to coach every kid a little bit different. And just probably, you know, what stuck with me is how different kids learn and how you've got to adjust to different kids.
So that goes back to what you mentioned a second ago, the relationships. Talk a little bit about how back then, and then maybe even up until what you're doing now, how do you go about day to day building those relationships with kids? What are some things that you do or that you think are important that maybe other coaches could learn from in terms of building the type of relationship you need to A, learn your kids so you can coach them better, and then B, just build the type of team camaraderie and spirit that you want to have by having good relationships with everybody?
Well, that's a good question. Mike, I don't know that I do anything different. I just know that I have to be around the kids in every setting that I possibly can and spend time with them so they understand me and I can understand them. So we try to build relationships with kids in the elementary program, through our basketball club, through seeing them play AAU, to seeing them in school, to seeing them playing other activities. And just, you know, the more you're around, the more they're familiar with you, the more you see the real them. And building parents, relationships with parents as well, and how the kids interact with their parents or their guardians is also a big piece of it that I think sometimes is overlooked.
Talk a little bit about how important it is. You're still teaching at Ames, correct?
Yes, Mike.
So talk about how important it is in your mind for you to be in the building with the kids every day and seeing them in the hallways. Because I think that we all understand and know that there's a much greater trend towards coaches being outside of the building than there was, say, 25, 30 years ago, where almost every high school coach was a teacher or a counselor or was in the building with the kids on a daily basis. And today, you don't see that nearly as often. And so just talk about how important it is to you to be in the building every day, interacting with your kids in the hallway, in the classroom, in the lunchroom, being able to talk to their teachers. I would have to think that that's a tremendous advantage in terms of relationship building.
Well, yeah, I think it's a big advantage. I think it's crucial. It's just my opinion. You know, I get to see a kid when he comes into school. I get to see what his mood is like. First thing in the morning, I get to see him interact with their friends. I know when I can get to him, if there's a situation in class or in school to help if necessary. And I'm always there for them if they need me. I give those guys that can do it that aren't in the building, kudos to them. I think my job would be extremely difficult if I couldn't reach out to a kid in a moment's notice and give them help.
Yeah, it always seems to me, I was a varsity assistant coach here in the school district where I teach for a number of years, and I teach in the elementary school. And the way our campus is set up, we're directly across the parking lot. And yet there were many times where I felt disconnected from our players, even though I was, you know, maybe a 75-yard walk across the parking lot, just because I wasn't seeing those kids every single day in the hallways. And so I can only imagine, and that was me as an assistant coach, I can only imagine as a head coach how challenging that could be able to, you know, to try to figure out how you were going to interact with them, how are you going to see those kids and just communicate with them. Being in the building to me is just a huge, huge advantage. So let's talk a little bit about your program now at Ames and what you've built your program on. When you think about the things that you want your program to be known for, sort of the pillars of what you do, can you talk a little bit about some of the things that are most important to you when you think about building a quality high school basketball program?
Well, I think there's a number of things that are very important. We've had a fair share of success here, and that started before I showed up, and it'll continue long after I'm gone. But I'd like to think our program's built on relationships. I think we're a developmental program. I think we do right by kids, and we do right by families. And in doing it the right way, I think we've built positive relationships with our families. And we've had a fair amount of success. Maybe on a more micro level, the message we give our kids before every practice is be tough, listen, and try. I think if you can do that in life, you're going to be successful. And then we define toughness. Well, what do you mean by toughness? Sustained effort, sustained focus. So if you can do those three things every day, you're going to be pretty successful if you can apply it to your personal growth, your education, and your basketball growth. On a program level, of course, we want to be as successful as we can. But our motto is 15 strong. We want to build a relationship that is special with our kids and with our players throughout the program. And to this point, we've had a good amount of success. And I'm not talking wins or losses. I'm just talking about developing kids. And I think it's important. It has always been important, and it will be even more so important in the future.
So I heard you mention now a couple times the fact that you're building an entire program. And I think that's one of the things that oftentimes people don't necessarily understand who are outside of the high school basketball environment, how important it is for a high school varsity coach to be involved in the complete program down to the youth level. So can you talk a little bit about how you structure your youth program, and then what your involvement is, what your players' involvement is in getting those kids who are young, who are part of your school district, who are going to be coming up and are going to eventually be a part of your high school basketball program? How do you build those relationships? How do you create your youth program to make sure that it's going to continue to have your program at the high school level be sustainable?
That's a great question, Mike. We've had a good share of success here at Ames High School for a lot of years. We've been playing basketball, I believe, for 105 years, and this place never had a youth program. And about 10, 12 years ago, we decided we have to build a youth program to continue to be successful. And so what we did is we built the Ames Basketball Club with a lot of hard work from a lot of well-meaning people that are very talented. And we built teams, basically competitive teams, from the third grade up to the eighth grade. And if we could build multiple teams on the boys and the girls side through those grade levels, and then those teams would have practice slots throughout our district school buildings twice a week through 4 months. And parents would coach them. And we thought that would help us a great deal. As far as our role, I'll talk about the players first. The players, I think it's exposure is huge with the youth teams. We try to visit the elementaries. We work the tournaments. The kids are there at the camps. We run really three a year. We have a camp in the summertime for our youth that our kids work. And then we have what we call Winter Blast, which is a camp over the holidays, and then we have an extended camp over summer. So as far as the kids are concerned, that's huge. And I've got a gentleman named Andrew Zelaski, who has been our club director through almost its entirety. And his responsibilities, I mean, that's a full-time job trying to put all that together, from scheduling gymnasiums to ordering uniforms to communicating with parents to communicating with the public to running the tournament. So I don't know how we could do it without a club director. That's been vital. And then my part is just to help to organize the entire project when we kicked it off, and to just try to stay on top of things and help Andrew as much as I can and continue to reach out to these kids. You know, we talked about building relationships earlier in the interview, and once those kids are placed into teams and we know when they practice, where they practice, when they play, much easier to start building relationships when you know where kids are.
Yeah, no question about that. How important is it for you to have those youth players have that connection with your varsity players so that they have the aspiration of eventually coming and suiting up for your high school program and getting an opportunity to play for you? Can you talk about the impact that the younger kids in your community seeing the varsity players, the junior varsity players, come down and interact with them, whether it's through the camps or other events that you do? Just talk about how important that is in your mind in terms of those kids coming up and eventually being part of your high school varsity program.
Well, I think it's really important. I mean, I think they, you know, the kids see the older kids play and have success and how they go about things. And hopefully we're always going about things as in the right way as best we can. And they start identifying with the older kids. And then if I can get them to games, get them to practices, get them around the older kids, you know, that just motivates them to aspire to, you know, play like the older kids, be like the older kids, maybe surpass what the older kids are doing. So it's been very important to us. It's been a great opportunity for kids to get better. And it's been terrific for our older players as well. People don't realize how long it takes to get good at this game.
That's so true.
It takes a long time, and it is very, very hard. And I think a lot of people just think it happens. And you know what? For some kids, it does. But those are very few and far between. For most kids to be good, it takes a tremendous amount of work, as you well know.
So to put that question in another way, how much do you spend with – you mentioned that a lot of times you have parents that are coaching that are part of the organization. How much time do you spend – working with, talking to those coaches about some of the things that are key to your program that you want them to be teaching and putting in terms of fundamental learning and things that you do at the high school level? How much do you want them teaching that at the lower levels, and how much input do you have on what the coaching looks like at that youth level?
Well, when we first started the program, I spent much more time with the youth level coaches, and now as time has passed and I'm getting a little long in the tooth, you know, I've worked with my assistants. I have tremendous assistants, Jeff Steinis and Dana Goodwin and Andrew Zelaski and Keith Pavin. All do wonderful jobs. And those guys probably spend more time with our youth coaches than anybody, just passing on information and strategy. And I used to think it was very important to do the same thing that the older teams were doing. I've kind of shifted my perspective there. I think it is much more important that you learn to have exposure to the game and then just learn the fundamentals. You know, if you have a jump stop, you can handle the ball, you can shoot it correctly, you can pass it correctly, you can catch it correctly, you learn how to play defense. That is much more important than the fourth graders running our particular offense.
Right.
You know, like I said, it takes a long time to get good at this game, and you've got to rep those skills day in and day out. And as long as they're working with the fundamentals, those kids are getting better. And as they get older, you know, we can put an offense or a defense in a week. It won't be great, but we can do it in a hurry. But if they're fundamentally sound, it's going to be really easy.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think that's something that you hear more and more of in terms of how important it is for kids to develop skills, especially the way that the summer basketball system is set up and how it's changed, and the fact that kids are playing so many games in the summertime starting in third, fourth grade, rather than when we think about like the old school basketball camps that used to be around 20 or 30 years ago, or kids putting in more time on their own. I know, you know, as a high school coach, the amount of time that you have to put in to organize workouts and do things that probably, again, if we go back to the time when I'm almost 50, so I go back to the time when I was playing or when I was early in my coaching career, and you didn't have to organize those workouts and things because kids were playing a lot more pickup basketball on their own. And that just, you know, doesn't exist to the same level that it did certainly in the past. And so I think you're right on when you say if kids can develop those fundamental skills, and then when you get them at the varsity level, you can then mold them into whatever type of style of play and offense and things that you want to do once those fundamental skills are in place. The other thing that I've heard you mention besides building those relationships with the younger players is building relationships with families. So can you talk a little bit about how important it is for you to be engaged with the parents of your players and what you do to involve them in your program to get them behind you and supporting what you do? Because we all know that occasionally parents can be challenging. And so just talk about how important parents are and what you do to make them involved in the program.
I think we do what a lot of people do. We certainly have parent meetings at the beginning of the season. We have banquets at the end of the season. And, we have parent reps that help every level of team at the high school. So there's two parent reps with every team. So it'd be two at the varsity, two at the sophomores, and two at the freshmen. And, help build relationships with a small group of parents, which leads to building relationships with a larger group of parents. And I don't think in today's world that you can build trust in an athlete if you can't build some relationship with the parent or guardian. And sometimes that can be more difficult than other times, and sometimes it's really easy. A little thing we do that might be different than others, we invite our kids in. Because our attendance at some of these meetings years ago wasn't great, we would invite our kids in then to introduce themselves and introduce their parents at the parent meeting. And for whatever reason, when we did that, our attendance got better, so we could build relationships with more people. I don't know if I mentioned this already, but to build trust with a young man in today's world, it's really hard unless you can reach out and build a relationship with their parent, their guardian, or whomever is their champion.
Head Start Basketball, along with members of the Jay Billis Skills Camp staff, will be hosting the very first Prime Skills Camp, an affiliate of the Jay Billis Skills Camp that is held annually in Charlotte, North Carolina. Prime Skills Camp will take place on the campus of Western Reserve Academy, just outside of Cleveland, Ohio, June 26th through the 28th. And will be designed for boys rising to grades 6 through 9. Prime Skills Camp will mirror the Jay Billis Skills Camp in daily programming, teaching, coach-to-camper ratio, and quality of instruction. Prime Skills Camp brings all of the team-oriented individual instruction, focus on the fundamentals, and high-level coaching to young men aspiring to a high school varsity basketball experience. This camp is operated by Billis Camp veterans and includes the Jay Billis Coaches Development Program alongside the camp, ensuring that the quality of teaching and coaching at this camp is second to none. Please visit headstartbasketball.com or jbilliscamp.com for more information or to get registered. You've had the opportunity to coach a lot of great players there at Ames High School in Iowa, but you have had the opportunity to coach two players who have gone on to success in the NBA, in Harrison Barnes and Doug McDermott. Can you talk a little bit about what it was like coaching those guys when they were in high school, a part of your program?
I've been asked that question a lot, and I really have a pretty boring answer. Is it as far as on the floor? It was like coaching most other kids. These guys were just really, really talented. Now everything off the floor that came with it could be at times overwhelming, but when they're on the floor, they're kids. And I think what you find out is the really, really special ones dearly want to be coached. They want to know why they're doing things, but they want to be coached. They want to be coached hard because they want to be really, really good. But on the floor, it was basketball. Off the floor, it was could be at times somewhat a circus. even in a relatively small state of Iowa, 3.5 million people, you wouldn't think there'd be quite as much media, but when you have two players that good, and in particular the number one recruit in the nation, and the other guy wasn't too bad either, by the way, it was a very a big challenge.
At what point in their career did you, as their coach, start to recognize that, man, these two guys are special and they're going to have an opportunity to go and continue their career well beyond what they're going to do here at Ames? So do you remember them when they were younger and when they first came on your radar, what your initial impressions were of them? Were they Were they late bloomers? Were they guys who were tremendous when they were in sixth, seventh grade that you're like, oh man, I can't wait for these guys to get up here. I know they're going to be tremendous. Just talk a little bit about what they were like when they were younger.
Well, it's two very, very different stories. When we had Harrison, obviously both in the same grade. When Harrison came up as a freshman, he was gifted. He came up first day, second day of practice to the varsity and was already making his presence felt. I mean, he was physically, he was off the charts. I don't think we knew, he was, that good until maybe his 10th grade year. When his 10th grade year, you were like, you knew he was different, but you didn't know he was
that different.
The best player in the nation different.
Right.
Maybe his 10th grade year. And then it just grew from there. And he obviously was very special, but trust me, he has worked as hard as any kid I've ever seen in my life. Doug was a different story. Doug loved basketball. I can still remember the day his dad brought him into the high school and introduced him to me. He was very, very, slight, not very tall. Going into his ninth grade year, and his dad, for you that know Greg's a massive guy. I mean, Greg's a big dude, and he introduced Doug to me and said, Doug looks just like I did at that age, maybe a little bigger. I remember that almost exactly the quote, and I remember shaking, you're introduced to the parents, so you're thinking that might be some dad talk, but you just shake your head, and you're polite, and you move on. And Greg was absolutely right. He was a late developer. He did not start on the freshman team. He really came into his own as a 10th grader. And then he absolutely exploded the summer going into his junior year. And going into his junior year, we're like, oh my goodness, this kid, we got something here. It's a unique story is, We were very talented at that time and really kind of had our lineup set as Doug was growing into this special player. Doug McDermott, of all people, had to come off the bench the majority of his junior year. A lot of people don't know that. I'm sure I've taken a lot of criticism for that. But it wasn't that Doug wasn't special. We just kind of had a chemistry with our starting lineup, and Doug handled that so well, being a coach's kid, having the maturity to do it. He ended up being all-state, all-tournament team, and a state champion coming, being the sixth man on that team.
Vance, it's been a pleasure having you on. Wanted to give you a chance to share how people can reach out to you if they have questions. They've listened to the podcast. Let people know how they can get in contact with you, and then I'll jump back on and wrap things up.
I think the best way to get a hold of me, if anybody has any questions or comment or want to give me advice, is my email, which is Vance, Vance.Downs, Downs, at ames.k12.ia.us. So email is the best way to get a hold of me, Mike.
Perfect. Vance, we can't thank you enough for spending some time with us this morning. It's been a pleasure getting a chance to talk to you about all the great things that you've been able to do in your career. And to everyone out there, thanks for listening, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Hoopheads Nation, check out these new offerings from Tyler Whitcomb Basketball Coaching Courses. The Bob Knight 1981 National Champion Indiana Hoosiers Playbook and the Will Wade LSU 2019-2020 Playbook are now available. Visit coachtube.com/users/Tyler Whitcomb to check out these great resources.
Registration is now open at headstartbasketball.com for this summer's Head Start Basketball Camps. We'll be hosting camps for boys and girls in grades 1 through 6 throughout the greater Cleveland area. Get registered today and make sure you hit the courts with us this summer.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast presented by Head Start Basketball.